Audiobook of The Council of Seven Lights, by George W. Van Tassel. Introduction. Parapsychology has proven that the transmission and reception of thought is possible and a scientific fact. The information in this book is the result of a developed ability to awaken the nearly dormant consciousness to thoughts existing throughout time. Nothing can be thought of that has not been thought of before. The principles of radio, television, electricity, flying, and of all modern things, existed in the time of Plato and Columbus. All of the principles of everything that can ever be already exist in the infinity of universal mind. The ability to penetrate mind requires practice. In practicing the act of awareness, I found that intelligence exists throughout the universe. My first contact with the organized intelligences of other places revealed that the intelligence manifested on the Earth is in the kindergarten stages. My penetration into the superconscious mind revealed an eternal record of infinite laws. Thinking is not something one does. Thinking is the act of becoming aware of what already exists. One does not try to think to become aware. One only has to remove his own thoughts and then the universal mind rushes in to fill the void. The introduction of any new thought is usually accepted by those who understand its potentialities, and rejected by those who do not comprehend its portent. This often leads to controversy, which is the needed stimulant that brings individuals to the use of their own thought power. This book is not written with the intention to present anything radically new to the reader. It is written to revive that which has become nearly dormant within his individual power of conception. One would be utterly foolish to try to explain a subject using scientific explanations to another who is not interested in or doesn't understand scientific terms. It would be equally unimpressive to appeal to one from the religious viewpoint if he were not interested in religion. My desire in presenting this book is to pass on that which makes sense to my reasoning faculties, in the hope that others can gain something of lasting value from it. The materialism of the present society of the masses is evidence that even the most unreligious of individuals has a desire to worship something, so he worships matter. The materialists think they are the more advanced people in an otherwise scientifically ignorant society. The most devout religionists lean the other way and believe their heavenly point of view is the correct way. Actually, both are wrong and both are right, from a neutral point of view. I am attempting to present this book from the middle viewpoint. If it appears that I am leaning one way or the other, the reader may take into account that perhaps he is basing his opinion on his own tendency to lean one way or the other. Now, the best way to really understand anything is to examine your own opinion from the opposite point of view. This book is an attempt to present to science and religion the facts that each are integral parts of the other, and both are the same one from opposite concepts. A wall is a wall regardless of from which side one looks at it. On one side of this wall is written the history and achievements of science, and on the other side one can read the records of the various religions. There is only the one principle of creation, but there are many roads to finding this grand principle. Religion presents its many roads to the people, each sect presenting its approach as the only one, with the fanatic condemnation of all other religious roads. The many divisions of science each profess their findings as the eternal verities. Religion presents God as the infinite being, and science presents the manifestations of God which have been recorded with the five senses. In the unthinkable vastness of the infinite universe, the Earth is only a tiny speck of matter, inhabited by parasites called humans. The people depend upon the Earth for their sustenance the same as any parasite depends upon its host for life. Religion is the art of living now. A true religionist knows how to live without infringing upon the rightful living of others. The professors of religion propound spirit as something you become after your death. Actually, the spirit of you is here now and your God is determined by the way you live in the flesh body so as to manifest spirit now, here on earth. The consciousness of every individual contains all of the records of every act and personality that the individual has ever done, or been. To admit that many of the thoughts I received were given by other identities would be true. Yet the further truth is that I have been all of these other identities. Reincarnation is a misnomer. All that one has ever been or will ever be, he is now. Everyone has always existed since the creation. Whether one accepts the limits of one lifespan here on the earth, or this life and a hereafter somewhere else is of no concern. One cannot honestly believe in a hereafter without believing in a before. This schoolroom on the earth is only a brief experience in eternal life. One must first understand himself, then he may understand his fellow man. If this is accomplished, then one is at the doorway of understanding God. O man, you have made laws to avoid using my laws. Confusion, chaos, and war are the results of man's ideas, opinion, and assumptions. Light alone is the essence of truth, truth alone is the essence of wisdom, wisdom is the essence of knowledge, knowledge is the essence of life. Only through knowledge can man express wisdom in action. I had given man life that he might demonstrate my knowledge through action and wisdom. I extend the concentration of my light to those who are demonstrating my laws. O man, in living my life, in breathing my breath, establish within yourself the solidarity, the contentment, the bliss of living rightly, that I may know, that I may feel the glorious pulsation of the being of you. In speaking my words, let them ring clear, let them be dear and near to you that others may understand. Realize, I am not the expression of self, I am only the boundless unselfish utterances of the heart and the soul that sees me in others. None can bring about the workings of my laws, unless first they have established their right within my light. Reach not for golden prizes of desire, for they shall reflect the light. Look not into the mirrors of space, for eyes that see are blind to me. And though the prize be golden, my light does not reflect. Express the being of me in life, extend me in the action that I may feel the thrill of doing for another whose need is great, that I may know success in manifesting you to bring about the me in others, that their eyes may see through thee to me not reflection, not illusion, but the purity, the reality I have instilled within the you of me. Chapter 1. The Missing Link. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Gen. 1-1. This creation was a part of the continuously evolving creation throughout the universe. Each instant that passes, new things are being made, new phases of life unfold, to live in ever-progressing cycles of rebirth. As related above, God made heaven before earth. In these heavens of the sky he had already created man. On many planets in many other solar systems, and on other planets in this solar system, man was developed through thousands of years, even before the Earth was habitable. Man was created, Gen. 1:27, he did not evolve from the lower animals. However, he was not created on the Earth. Man was created throughout millions of solar systems, to serve as the instrument of God's doing. Anyone who contends that this planet is the only one occupied by intelligent life forms, does not accept God in his infinite completeness. His narrow mind has placed a limit on his ability to perform his creations. Adam was not a single man. The Adamic race of man was the first people to inhabit the earth. This is confirmed in Gen. 1:27, where the race of man, in the original creation, is described as male and female. In Gen. 1:28, the scripture relates how God blessed them. This is plural, not him, but them. And God said unto them, the Adamic race, both male and female, be fruitful, and multiply. This all happens before Eve is ever mentioned. Thus the Adamic race is established on earth. Then God finished his work of creation in regard to man. He had also finished the creation of the heavens and the earth, Gen. 2:1, and all the host of them. This means all the beings who occupy the earth and the heavens. So God ended his work and rested. Gen. 2:2-3. Can this be that God ended his work, and still no mention of Eve? Yes, the Bible is accurate on God's beginning of his creations. Then comes the summary of the creation. This is where people are led into confusion, For the first time God is left out of the picture and we have a Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. This character was one of the Adamic race who was in the colony that had been landed here by spacecraft. The men of the Adamic race did not bring their women with them when they first landed on Earth. The Lord God brings Eve into the picture, not the Creator. The Lord God said that the Adamic men were lonesome. Gen 2:18. Then the Lord God pops Eve out of a rib after one of their people fell into a deep sleep. Gen 2:21-22. God brings about the creation of people through birth everywhere in the universe, not by making women out of men's ribs. The race of Eve was the highest form of animal life on this planet. They were not apes, but they were also not the race of man, created by God. Next comes the story of Adam, Eve, and the apple. Gen 3:1-7. This son of the Adamic race of man blamed the woman, and the woman blamed the serpent. The poor serpent didn't have anyone to blame. One of the true species of man, as God created the Adamic race, mated with an animal. There is no violation of God's law in man mating with woman after his own kind. Adam's violation of the law was not in eating the apple, it was in eating the wrong apple. God created every creature after its own kind, Gen 1:11, 12 and 21, 22, but one of the race of man mated with an animal of the earth and crossed blood. This is where man became who man. Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel. She didn't know who the Creator was, so she said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord," Gen 4:1, thinking the Lord was the Adamic man who was her mate. When Cain killed Abel, he revealed the animal nature of his mother. He started the practice of murder, that has expanded to a point now where people can vaporize thousands of others with atomic and hydrogen bombs. That is why the people of the earth are called humans. The Adamic sons of God knew the tiger as a killer among beasts. The name for tiger was Hu. Most of the people on the earth today are crossbreed descendants of the true Adamic sons of God, as originally created, and the animal race of Eve. That is why you have an earthly, dense, animal body, and an inner body of created reality as God made you. The truly created men and women of the Adamic race of man have been watching the people on the earth for thousands of years. This Shivalization, from Shiva, Hindu god of destruction, of humans has expanded the science of destruction to the point of crisis. The nations having atomic bombs have enough to wipe out all living things on the earth. The animal of Eve is in power. The Adamic race of man has brought nullifier ships into the earth's thin film of breathable atmosphere. We call them green fireballs. They have nullified concentrations of atomic radiation that were in our atmosphere. They feel responsible for the fact that one of their people started this destructive cycle on the earth. You have a choice to make. You either accept the Creator's Adamic constructive part of you, or you recognize the physical human's destructive influence of the Eve ancestry. The Adamic race of man typifies the combination of spirit and substance into form. The many forms of life, fish, birds, reptiles, insects, animals, and humans all change with environment and breeding. The human race is a degenerate species of man, as a result of following the bestial tendencies. Matter and spirit are the same thing, only in opposite manifestation. Matter is energy, spirit, condensed, and energy is matter in solution. Each is polarized throughout infinite space and both follow a pattern of forms. Space is the infinite ocean of intelligence, creative spirit, or the Creator at rest. This balanced intelligence manifests through all creations. In order to manifest motion, the energies must be unbalanced. No thing or condition in God's universe is without contrast in duality. For every up there's a down, for every white there's a black, for every night there's a day. Anyone who has climbed the tree of knowledge can see that it has two sides, no matter in which direction one looks. This is not because the tree knows one side from another, it's because the man in the top of it has two sides, his right and left. God made everything in duality so he could remain at rest in the middle. God is peace. Jesus said, "My Father and I are one." That was because he recognized no rich or poor, no boundaries or colors, no church or religions. That was because he remained neutral at a division point between the contrasting dualities. Jesus didn't take sides with anyone. Actually, you shouldn't take either side. Take God's course down the middle. A fire can warm you or destroy you. Cold is desirable in a refrigerator, but not when it makes one uncomfortable. Speed is required to get somewhere fast, but its momentum can kill you if you lose control of it. Atomic energy is a death force. Its radiation can kill you without a bomb being dropped. In commercial use for power, it is as deadly as when it is used in bombs. Fission or fusion of atoms, or their isotopes, on a planet are not as God intended. God created suns to operate their reactions by the principles of fission and fusion. He also placed the planets far enough away from the suns so there would be no harmful effects from their waste products. Human use of sun principles, on a planet, is in direct opposition to the creative principles of an all-wise God. The law of reaction will cancel every destructive cause. Apply sun principles on planets and the reaction will make the planet a sun. Who escapes? Only the people who are with God in the middle. How? They will be taken out into space by the race of man in the spacecraft. In order to present the one principle which causes all things to be, let us use the symbol G to signify what is commonly referred to as God. Let us use it to symbolize the right hand of God, or the positive polarity, projective, male force of unbalanced energy. Let us use B as the sign of negative polarity, receptive, female energy, or the left hand of God. Assume that God, who rested after the creation of all things, is the still fulcrum of intelligence throughout all infinity that serves as the balance between these opposites. For an objective point of view, assume that the G line is vertical to the plane of the paper. Assume that the A line is on the paper, running crosswise at 90 to the vertical G line. This A line of force is composed of positively charged particles. Assume that the B line is running from the top to the bottom of the paper, at 90 to the A line and 90 to the G line. This B line of force is composed of negatively charged particles. Where these lines cross, there is an atom, a micro-solar system, created in perfection by these unseen forces. The atomic element is determined by the substances present in the charged A and B lines. This evolves a nucleus of positively charged particles called a proton, surrounded by a field of negative orbits set up by the B particles in motion. The concentrated group of B particles in this orbit we call an electron. The G line has no motion as to movement in a given direction. It extends infinitely throughout all space, through all substances and materials. It exists in what we term both light and darkness. These lines are parallel to each other. Atoms compose all things. G light is found in the composition of all atoms. G light is creative intelligence. Our Earth is an electron of our Sun, traveling in its orbit of a negative field. It is rotated by the bandwidth of A and B light forces, equal to the Earth's diameter. Prior to the formation of individual atoms, the A and B lines of light force had to contain the correct amount of substance particles. For clarification, let us revert down to a single line of A and B lines of force. These two lines of oppositely charged light cross each other at 90/BA, insulated by the G lines of infinite intelligence. They cannot be brought into induction where they cross unless they are mated. In order to give birth to an atom of hydrogen, the A and B lines must conform to species. The law reads, each after its own kind. The B must contain the same number of particles per inch as the A does. These particles must also vibrate at the same frequency. In order to become hydrogen, both lines of light must conform to the vibratory frequency of hydrogen in the spectrum. The vibratory frequency of each element is different. The hydrogen particles vibrating in their own frequency in the light lines before they become an atom cannot mix with the frequency of any other element. This makes them of like species in every respect except they are of opposite polarity. This opposition of charge brings them together, and the G light allows them to mate by induction because they are equal opposites. The density of each element is determined by the frequency of the vibrating particles in both A and B lines of force. Each atomic element is the result of perfect proportion, charge, and vibration in equal and opposite polarities. Thus an atom of hydrogen is the same wherever it is found in the universe. Let us proceed to simplify the complex. Picture an onion cut in two. An onion is like an atom, the outside layer or shell being the negative field of orbit for the outermost electron. The next layer and each alternate layer toward the center being composed of intelligence, the insulating layer of infinite light force called the G line of light. When you crack an atom, the force disturbing or puncturing the outer shell creates unbalance and neutralizes the outer shell. This causes the outermost electron to be attracted to the positive proton in the center. However, before the electron reaches the proton, the instantaneous inrush of G light force through the fractured outer shell creates implosive pressures within the atom. This is the active force that brings about the explosion when the electron and proton discharge within the ruptured shell. The insulating G light condenses into what science has named a neutrino. This potent causation force immediately deserts its wrecked atom and takes off to return to the 13th density. This is what religion would term a resurrection, when the potent, causal, infinite, light force deserts its shell or body. God in his infinite wisdom caused all of his creations to function by perpetual motion. He maintains the balance by centering each creation and insulating each one from all others. When he created the lines of light force, he caused to be 1850 of them to a square centimeter. He gave them positive polarity, male, projective gender, a speed of 186,000 miles per second, and matter in the form of charged particles. In opposition to the lines of light force, he created the B lines. The B lines are 1,257 per square centimeter. They cross between the lines of force at 90 with a speed of 202,000 miles per second. Their polarity is negative, their gender is female, receptive. Between the breathing of these two primary forces, he created rhythm. This brings about a wave motion, which consolidates the individual lines into bands. When a works inward, B works forward, and when a works outward, B works backward. Rhythm, which establishes the bands, levels, and density changes, is operated by strain or desire. Strain is the time between the flight of the female, negative lines of force and the pursuit of the male, positive lines of force. When they encounter any created object that was born before by other A and B lines of light, they add to its rotation by spiral induction and partial penetration. The negative B lines are attracted to the Earth's positive core, but are resisted by the G light insulation strata. Having penetrated the negative crust, they are repelled by it and take the line of least resistance, which is out of the North Pole. By induction, they attracted the positive core to rotate in one direction, and in being repelled help the negative crust to rotate in the opposite direction. The opposite lines of force work opposite to the foregoing, and are emitted at the South Pole. As they emit from the poles, they are met by the A and B lines of light that are passing uninterrupted by the planet and bent back to their original course. The resistance in bending causes the aurora. As they have reduced their energy charge and speed of motion in adding power to the planet, they enter different levels as they emerge from the poles. Then the G lines of light, crossing between them and insulating them, brings them back through rest and rhythmic breathing to their original conditions. The A lines of force have more quantity density and less speed than the B lines of force. The B lines have more speed and less density. This is the reason why the positive lines of force, charged with matter, become the proton core of the Earth. the faster becharged matter becomes the crust of our planet. This strain or desire is the eternal progressive spirit in all things that manifest action. Strain in people is called desire. When the desire exceeds the limits of capacity, the Father's agents of balance through orbi lines of force will bring about an opposite result. The G, A, and B lines are the us referred to in the Bible, Gen. 1:26, when God said, "Let us make man. O mortals, though my laws have been as doormats beneath your feet, though through centuries you have turned not to face the light, I judge not, neither do I hold regrets, for all are given right to choose. Mortals in this density of three, having not chosen me, now stand beneath the whip, but are rather facing rebound of the actions man has created. My laws are fixed. None can change the law of all infinity. One fulfills the law, or faces judgment by the law, written in the light of each of my created beings. Having turned my laws about, now you are faced with your man creations in opposition to my law. So I gather up the scattered fruit, knowing that the bulk of my harvest has been lost to repetition upon repetition of errors, written in the history of mortals on this portion of me. I must brush off this contamination from my cloak, that I may hang it in my closet clean. Those who have failed for centuries to recognize my person within their being, are forced by their actions to repetition once again. My heart, manifested by you, is sore. But I shall recover to bring about the destiny as many times as necessary, that my pattern shall be complete for each one of my parts. So it is, again and again I cleanse my house. My love shall never fail. Everlasting light is man's by choice alone, and the choice I gave to him. I am the voice that manifests in every word you say. I am the sound in darkness to your ear, that leads the way. You stumble on the path to me. You fail to see the light within, that grows with every victory over self. To be a part of me, project the actions of me being you. Extend my love instilled within. Do unto others as I do to you. For I can only be, through you. Chapter 2. Invisible gears. Densities are the levels or grades through which creation progresses. Thought is the activating force. Thought is the image of the creative intelligence. Progression is a reward for effort expended in creative thought. Through thought, the Creator established a pattern through which all things must pass. The people of the Earth and this solar system are all in the same boat at present. There are various levels or decks in this spaceboat. There are visible partitions between these different levels. The first class passengers in this solar boat are not the wealthy people, nor the intellectuals of the system. The steerage is not occupied by the poor or the illiterate. Everything in this boat is mixed up. The Creator didn't make it this way. The mix-up is due to the doings of man. Earth people are dominated by individual and mass ego. Nearly everyone thinks he is better than others. Now progression is upward, and when one looks down on another, he must lower himself to see the other. When one sees the good in others, he automatically raises himself. The Creator established densities to control these conditions. The third density, where these things exist in the triangle of confusion, is about all finished. Humans on Earth are going to have to conform to the requirements of the fourth density, or take this grade over again. The requirement to pass is to live the golden rule. Not to profess it, or expect others to live it, but to live it individually, as you are only responsible for yourself. The drawing represents one of the flowers of the universe. The Vela sector system is only one of the Creator's thoughts. There are 12 densities in the system we occupy. Each of these is divided into 12 major cycles. Each major cycle is divided into 12 minor cycles. When a solar system moves out of one density into another, it is called a master cycle. The solar system that we are in is now in the arc between the third and fourth densities. For the planet Earth and this solar system, this is the time of times. The Earth is culminating a minor cycle, a major cycle, and a master cycle all at the same time. This will bring about a rebalancing of the planet on new poles. When this occurs, the Great Earthquake written of in Revelations will take place.